There will not be 200,000 people in Berkeley on Saturday. Well, they'll be in Berkeley, but probably not at Memorial Stadium. I'll be there broadcasting the game. Our next guest will be there as well, covering for the San Francisco Chronicle. His name's Rusty Simmons. How are you, Rusty?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Good. How many games would Cal have to play to get 200,000 people?
A good five or six, probably.
Maybe for the season, right?
Yeah, they've been down so much lately. I don't think there's much faith around Berkeley in Cal, and especially in their defense. Sometimes people show up to watch them score 50 points, but then they go home angry because they've given up 60.
Well, that part I understand, but I was talking to Todd McKim, and you know Todd, he's on the broadcast
sure.
team. I would have thought that at least the exciting brand of Sonny Ball would bring some people to Cal games, but he said plenty of good tickets available for every game. What's it going to take to get Cal people there? Is it a front-running crowd? I mean, I know the Bay Area is very much a pro market. That much I understand. But it would seem to me that's at least a fun brand of football to watch. Why don't more people come to Cal games?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head with the pro market. You know, we've got two pro baseball teams, two pro football teams, and a basketball team that might be the most exciting story in the sports world. And colleges just haven't caught on. Even Stanford, the top 10 team, has trouble selling out its games. I agree with you that the offense that Cal plays is an exciting brand, but most of the fans around there, they like to show up when the team's winning, and Cal hasn't done a lot of that lately.
All those hippies and counterculture types aren't big football fans. Is that what you're saying, Rusty?
There's so many other things to do in Berkeley to have fun. They just skip out on the football.
Well, you can have fun before and after the game. That's what most football fans do. Anyway, we'll talk about that different topic for a different day. I have an inherent bias because I'm close to the team as the play-by-play guy. But I'm looking at this, and I've learned long ago, guys in Vegas know stuff. But I'm trying to wrap my head around why Cal's a two-point favorite in this game. Give me your best explanation for that.
You know what? The only thing that I can think of is they had a tough loss at San Diego State, and they bounced back and came home and beat UT, beat Texas when they were number 11 in the country. And I think that was pretty impressive. And that's really the only data that we have so far. But if this team could be a bounce-back team, they had a rough game against Arizona State last week. They're coming home for homecoming. And maybe that's what Vegas is thinking, is that this looks like a team that bounces back after tough losses. I don't agree with them, but that might be what they're thinking.
It's funny to me because as prolific as they are, and I was sitting down on Monday night and Tuesday crunching the numbers, as prolific as they are in offense, and they're terrific, they are equally, almost equally as bad on defense, giving up 492 yards a game. And they don't, and again, you've seen them play. I've seen them play on TV twice, and I'm just putting my notes and my charts together, but it doesn't seem like their defense has many, if any, real playmakers.
No, you're exactly right. You know, they lost a ton on the front and then lost two linebackers, including Hardy Nickerson, who would have been their best defender. And I wrote a story today that they've lost six defensive backs since the start of spring camp. So they didn't have a ton of talent on defense already, but when you lose those kind of guys, especially in one position group like that, it really hurts you. And they give up chunks of yards all the time, and then in really inopportune times, one of those young DBs gets beat, and they give up big plays, and that's been killing them.
Talking to Rusty Simmons, he covers the Cal Bears for the San Francisco Chronicle. Follow him on Twitter, Rusty_SFCron. They wouldn't let you just have your name?
No, I guess there was a more important Rusty Simmons out there. I still haven't met him, but I guess he exists.
Maybe it's Russell Simmons, and he goes by Rusty on Twitter.
That could be. And he has more money than I could offer him, so I guess I'll never get that handle.
Yeah, this won't be like the NFL where you can buy the jersey number. I don't think you've got the money to buy that Twitter handle from Russell Simmons, right?
Right.
Defensively, where, if anywhere, could they present some problems for Utah? They give up 263 on the ground, 228 through the air. I said the other day they might give up more through the air, except teams run the ball so well they probably don't have to put it in the air. Utah, that's kind of their strength. They're really good up front, and they can run the football with three different running backs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And even Hawaii, the one kind of patsy on the Cal schedule so far. They ran for 200 yards against Cal. So it's been a problem all year. I think Utah's line, is offensive line, is the best that Cal's seen. And I like those three backs that they have. So this could be really scary for Cal. They've shown me no indication that they can stop the run.
Offensively, though, they're really, really good. Jared Goff, worst game of his college career, would you say, happened last year here in Salt Lake City?
Absolutely, and it's funny. He's become really good friends with the graduate transfer quarterback who's starting for him now, Davis Webb, and they usually talk a couple times a week, and Davis said that he's not going to call him to go over a game plan about Utah. I didn't want to bring up those memories for him.
How's Davis Webb different? I mean, Jared Goff was the number one overall pick. It's hard to get better than having a guy that went number one and owns most of the school records or is close to them. But I know Webb grew up in the offense. He played it in high school. He played it, obviously, at Texas Tech, so he's familiar with it. How is he different, better, worse than Jared Goff was?
He's bigger. He doesn't move around as well as Goff. He knows the offense. That much is clear. But he seems to make mistakes late in games, and that's what cost them both in San Diego State and Arizona State. Now, his teammates and coaches have said that's because they put so much pressure on him by not stopping anybody on defense and making him have to pass on every play. And so that's what we could see as the season goes along, that he'll start making better decisions down the stretch of games. But right now, that's one thing that's really haunting him.
Chad Hansen has to be one of the more interesting stories in college football. To go from Idaho State, a place where you toil in obscurity in Pocatello, Idaho, to now being the most productive wide receiver in college football as a senior, that's a pretty interesting story.
It's absolutely wild. When he wanted to leave Idaho, nobody was interested at all in him. And Cal saw some tape and said, I guess you can come in as a walk-on. He's finally on scholarship now. I guess you have to lead the nation in every receiving category to get a scholarship. But he and Webb have a really good chemistry together. And as these young receivers are kind of learning the system, you know, they're playing true freshmen right now at the receivers. And as those guys are learning, Hansen is the go-to guy. I won't be surprised if more and more teams double or bracket him and make Davis Webb go to the younger guys.
Who else? I know the running game is kind of a three-headed attack, and those guys are really good athletes. It almost is like they run the ball just to give the passing game a break, to let Davis Webb rest his arm for a minute. But the guys are all pretty good. Muhammad's a home run guy if he can get in the open field. Enwery's not a bad back as well. But it's almost like the running game is just a change-up for a play or two.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. The offensive coordinator, Spavital, tries to run early in the game, and they get their average down to about 3 yards a carry, and then he just goes away from it. And you can't blame him. I'd be interested to know what would happen if one of those three running backs would really step up and claim to become the primary guy, what would happen? Because it seems like anytime Muhammad gets on a run, then they go to Enwere, and Enwere scores a touchdown, and they go to Trey Watson. And most running backs that I've been around, when they get the ball more, that's when they really get going. So I'd be interested to see what would happen if one guy stepped up and became the primary back.
Yeah, probably not going to happen this week. Tough to run against that Utah front seven for sure. What were they saying anything about Utah and their 4-0 and ranked 18th this week? Anything specifically about the Utes?
Yeah, you know, they talk the way you would expect about a Utah team. Well-coached, disciplined, stout defense. They're really high on both lines. They think that these are the best lines that they've seen all year. And then they're really impressed by the quarterback, his decision-making, and he's got a connection there similar to what Davis Webb and Chad Hansen have. And they were really high on him with his decision-making and his ability to run. I know he hasn't run much, but that's something Cal's really worried about, is they think that he can get out of the pocket and move.
I'll ask you this, and I don't know if there's a good answer, but we were talking about the attendance at games not being great. I know Cal's a very tough academic institution. Is Sonny Dykes going to be the guy that has the wandering eye every year, or do you think he's settled in there in Berkeley?
Well, I know his wife has settled in Berkeley. She loves it there. And you know what? He's done so much now to change what's going on with the academics on the football side. It was just a couple of years ago where they had a zero graduation rate, and he's really worked on that. And I think if he can get them to a bowl every couple of years, that might be good enough for a while as he's getting the academics in order. And then the old Blues are going to get mad. They remember the Tedford years and that Rose Bowls were opportunities and that they went to bowls every year. So I think they'll give him a little bit of leash here because of what he's done with academics, but I don't know how long that leash will be.
I only say that because, you know, there's a guy named Tom Herman who's going to be a pretty sought-after candidate this offseason, and Sonny's got ties to Texas. If Houston were to perhaps get into the Big 12 conference, I think that job might look a lot more attractive if it's a Power 5 job to him.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. You could even see it when Texas came to Berkeley to play. You know, Coach Dykes grew up in Texas, went to high school in Lubbock, went to college at Texas Tech. His father has a huge line there. He's a Texas guy. You could see him get amped for UT coming in. If there was an opportunity for him to go back home, you got to think he'd consider it.
The only stadium I haven't broadcast a game from, because last time Utah played Cal, it was over at AT&T Park, and I was in a loge over the third base line looking at that wonky field. So how the stadium upgrades look, Rusty?
You're going to love it. It's funny. I'd covered the Warriors for about the last 8 years. I did Cal and then covered the Warriors, and now I'm doing Cal again. And we used to have to cover our computers with plastic bags and hide from the wind and the rain. And now the new press box and the luxury suites are great. There's no infield for you to worry about. You'll be right at the 50-yard line. You have a great seat.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, looking forward to getting over to Berkeley. It should be a lot of fun. Appreciate you jumping on with us today, and we'll do a GoFundMe page for you to try and get that Russell Simmons Twitter handle.
I appreciate that. That'd be great.
See you Saturday, Rusty.
All right, we'll see you then.
There you go, Rusty Simmons with us, Cal beat writer and insider from the San Francisco Chronicle.